One of the mitzvahs in the Torah is the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. The Chachamim tell us in Masechet Sanhedrin that if the Torah tells us we are required to return somebody's Aveda, if he drops a Shavat Pruta, he drops a nickel in the street, so Kal Vachayma Hashavas Gufo. If a person is drowning, or if a person is Toya Baderach, somebody is lost and he doesn't know his way, so this is a mitzvah of Hashavas Gufo. Or the Rishonim point out, the Ramban and others point out based on this Gemara, that if a doctor knows how to treat sick patients, so this is also included in the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, Mitam Hashavas Gufo, being a Kal Vachayma from Hashavas Nomono. If there is such a din of Hashavas Gufo, so the Minchas Chinuch writes, and Rav Shlomo Eger writes in his Tshuvas, that if a person is a Toya Bahashkofo, if a person is a Bala Veire, so this would also be included in Hashavas Aveda. And then if the person is lost, he's lost Aveda. And then if the person is lost, he's lost to himself. He doesn't know that the Shmiras HaTorah V'Hayahadus. This would also be included in the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. To the extent that the Minchas Chinuch and Rav Shlomo Eger are both bothered with the kasha, so why does the Torah have to give us another mitzvah? Hachiach tochiach esam isecho. We should give tochacha to Bali Aveda to try to have them return to the Chosim Mitzvah. Why shouldn't such a situation simply be included in the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? So they both say the same teretz, and they give nafkaminas ledina based on this assumption. Then Anachanami, in many cases it would be included in Hashavas Aveda, but the reason why the Torah specifies another mitzvah is because the Chachamim tell us in Maseches Avodah Zarah that in Daf Chof Vav, I think, Daf Chof Zayin, that the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda doesn't apply if the person is a Mumalahakas. But if the person is such a Rosha, is a Mumalahakas, and he drops an Aveda in the street. So just like there's no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda by Nochrim, so there's no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda by Mumalahakas. If the other person is a Mumalahakas, so then there wouldn't be any mitzvah of Kirav on him. So that's why you have a specific mitzvah of Hachayach Tachayach HaSamisecha to cover that case as well. Mitam, these two mitzvahs, Hashavas Aveda and Hachayach Tachayach, the mitzvah to be Mekarev people would be a Lacharet, would be a, the nature of the mitzvah would be a mitzvah Shebin Adam Lachaveri. You have to take care of the needs of this person, like you have all the other mitzvahs of Shebin Adam Lachaveri. But the Chachamim tell us that the mitzvah of Kiruv is also has an aspect of Bin Adam Lamokom. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Yuma on the pasuk "V'yahavtu es Hashem Elokecha she'yehei shem shemayim nisai v'al yadecho," that when a person loves somebody else, the derech ha'olam is that not only does he love that other person, he wants to see to it that everybody else should love that person as well. Everyone should esteem that person, everyone should honor that person, and so on. So when we are obligated to have Havas Hashem, so included in the mitzvah of Havas Hashem is that we should see to it that all the other people also love HaKadosh Baruch. So the way to do that is to be mekar of other people, to Yiddishkeit. In fact, the Rasha Rishonim will say that the mitzvah to be mekabel gerim is based on that pasuk, V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha she'yehei shem shemayim nisai v'al yadecho. The Gemara says in Yevamos that it's a mitzvah to be mekabel gerim. It doesn't mean it's a mitzvah to go canvas for game, to go proselytize, to go try to get all the non-Jews to convert. The Gemara says, Faker, when a ger comes to him as gar, so you try to, at first the initial reaction should be try to give him a little bit of hard time and ask him what he needs this tircha for. You're not going to be accepted by the Jews, you're not going to be accepted by the guy, you're going to lead a miserable life. You try to convince him not to convert, try to dissuade him. But if the person insists that he wants to convert, and the Gemara says that it's a mitzvah to be megayer him as soon as possible. Once you see that you're not going to get rid of him, once you see that he really means it, then the Gemara says it's zrizim akdim le mitzvah, that the mitzvah's rizis applies here as well. So the Gemara never says, what is the mitzvah? Where does it say that there's a mitzvah to be melkabel ger? So there's a big dispute in Rishonim. If you look in Rabbi Yerucham Perlo's commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvah, so Rav Sadigan, he has a whole arichas on this. So one of the sources given by a group of Rishonim is that it's based on the pasuk, V'yahavtu es Hashem Elokecha, where the Gemara Neum interprets it, Shehei Shem Shemayim Yisai Vayda. So that mitzvah applies b'shoveh both to be mekarev Yidin and to be megayer non-Jews who are interested in being megayer. When one is mekarev non-observant Jews, you have to try to go min akala lakovei. A lot of people think that logically, Shmira Shabbos and Taras HaMishpocha, these are Isuri Krisis. So
We're going to work on the major things, and then we'll get to the lesser things later. You go logically. So the Pashto says you don't go logically. You have to go min akala lakavod, like when you teach little children. You don't teach them in the first grade the most difficult things. You teach them Elul is a Rosh Hashanah, Sani the Day of the Dilili. You teach them Gematrios. You teach them the easy things that are really very insignificant. And when the children come home from school, the parents always wonder for years and years, what are the teachers teaching such narishkeit? What are they teaching them? About Rabbi Bo, Sveika the Dina, what is Tia Shwan Trugge, why don't they teach? The children won't begin to understand that. A Gematria they can understand. Or Rashi Tevis they can understand. Easy things, 10 reasons for Tashla and 10 reasons for Slichas. All these things they can understand. Real hard things they can't understand. So the same is true regarding Kiruv. If you're working with a person who's far away from Yiddishkeit, the Pashto says that you have to go Menachal al HaKavod. You don't hit the person over the head right away with Taras HaMishpach or with all the Mishkan Brurim regarding Hilchos Shabbos. You go first with easy things. You tell them a simple investment to put on mezuzahs on all the doors. That's an easy thing. It's not Meshabbat him for the rest of his life. You don't tell him he has to daven Vasikin every day. That's too hard. You tell him, put on mezuzahs on the doors. Partik once, a one-shot mitzvah and easy. And he has the mitzvah with him later on. Then you go, you try to do other things a little, first easy things and then with hard things. When we're mekarev non-observant people, a lot of times you get in a situation where you'll be faced with a situation where you yourself cannot really observe all of the laws of the Torah. If you observe all the dinim strictly, it'll look as if you're merakik the person. Let's take for example, you have a weekend, the place is Shabbaton, and the Shai is who's going to lay in Kriyas HaTorah. So if you want to be medactic, you want to have a Shem Shabbos laying, so these people are not going to participate at all. The people know how to read a little bit. Say they once had a little education years ago. But now they're very far from Yiddishkeit. So if you can get them to laying, it'll be a little more of a kirva. They're the Bali Tvila. They're the Balei Kriya, they're learning the Kriyas HaTorah. So even though they're not Shomer Shabbos, and under normal circumstances, in a normal shul, you wouldn't allow a non-Shomer Shabbos to be the Balkari. But if you're faced with the Shas HaTchak, where you want to be Mekarev the people, so then we always say that Shas HaTchak is the Yevedami, whatever would be acceptable to the Yeved, we would accept L'chatchila B'Shas HaTchak. But that's as far as it goes. It's only what would be accepted to the Yeved. So Shas HaTchak is kidiyevedom, shas atcha kidiyevedom, whatever is not even acceptable to the yeved is nisht. So you can't say shas atcha, we're going to violate all the dini hatar. Sometimes we even go so far to say chatei b'shul shetiske. This is a very tricky halacha, it's very difficult. The Gemara has in several places that gedoy laver lishmo kemitzvah shaloy lishmo. Originally the Gemara thought gedoy laver lishmo an avera l'shem shamayim is even greater than a mitzvah shalom l'shma. Then the Gemara says, no, it's kir mitzvah shalom l'shma. So the Gemara seems to say that there is such a thing as chatei b'shul shetiska, chatei b'shul shetiska, havercha, sometimes there is such a concept. In Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes, no, that was only kodem Matan Torah. But after Matan Torah, the whole concept of gedol avera l'shma doesn't apply. The Talmidim of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, however, in Keser Rosh, Rav Asher Tiktina quotes in the name of Rav Chaim Volozhiner that's not exactly what he meant, even though that's what he writes in the Sefer. No, if you look in the Sefer, the context of what he wrote in the Nefesh HaChaim was he was attacking the Hasidim, that they used to miss the Zman Krishman and miss the Zman Tfilah, and they used to miss Chatzos by Achilas Matzah, and everything, they were making so many Hachonis to make sure that they would do all of the mitzvahs Lishma, so because of the Hachonis, they would miss the Zman of the mitzvah. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner says that that's terrible, that if you eat the matzah after Chatzos, or if you say Kriyashma after the Sosman Kriyashma, that's the same as blowing shofar on Yom Kippur and fasting on Sukkot and sitting in the Sukkah on Chanukah. If you're off by 5 minutes, so you miss the train, so it's the same as being off by a couple of days. There's no meaning at all. If you don't do the mitzvah in the proper zman, there's no kima mitzvah. Aye, but you want to do the mitzvah l'shma? So he says, no, the l'shma is nishta zay gefelach. Aye, but the Gemara talks about how important doing things l'shma are, even to the extent of del aver l'shma. If you do an aver l'shma, it's the same as a mitzvah shalom l'shma. So he says, nah, that was only kodem matan Torah. So in his heat of his attack against the Hasidim, and he says there the famous passage where he writes, I even heard that there are some communities where they send somebody out late at night, they ask, are there 3 stars visible in the sky? And then they say, okay, now we can begin to daven mincha. He even heard that there's such If you would live in the, in our part of the world, you see it every day. It's not, he heard that there's such a thing. So Adama Pasha like that, Burpa, Flatbush is all over. Wait till Tzeis HaKachavim to begin to daven in. So in his attack against the Hasidim, so he says that there is no such concept at all. Lacha Matan Torah is Gedola Averishma. But nonetheless, as I say, Rabbi Moshe Tiktina, the Talmud of Rabbi Chaim Elojan, writes in his Keser Rosh, that he heard from his Rebbe, not that he's saying on his own, he heard from his Rebbe that he didn't really mean that. Of course, there's a Lacha Matan Torah. The Gemara talks about Yoel Eishes Chever HaKeni. So that was Lacha Matan Torah. There were examples, Kodem HaTorah and Lacha Matan Torah. It's more restricted Lacha Matan Torah. The Gemara in the end of Yuma, in the Sugya of Pikuach Nefesh, quotes the Pasuk, Shomer b'nei Yisrael asah Shabbos, chalal olav Shabbos achas k'dei sheyishma Shabbos es harbe, in the Rambam, and then the Gemara rejects that Pasuk. The Gemara says that Pasuk would only indicate if there's a Vadai Pikuach Nefesh, but if it's only a Sofik Pikuach Nefesh, or only Sofik Sakona, with a Vadai Hatzola, it's not a Vadai, either it's a Sofik if there is a Sakona, or a Sofik if you will succeed in saving the person's life. So then the Gemara says, based on that Pasuk alone, you wouldn't know that you're permitted to be Mechal Shabbos at the Eid on Yom Kippur of a Mokum Sofek Sakon. So the Gemara seems to reject that Yalfusa and say no, that the principle of Kvat Nevesh Decha Kola Tarakula is based on a totally different Pasuk B'chai Bohem Lo Shiyamas Bohem. Nonetheless, you look in the Rambam, in Hilchas Mamrim, and it points this out in his Beir on the Shulchan. The Rambam says that we do hold from that Rosh Hashanah Yisrael Al Shabbos Chalol Shabbos Achas Kedei Shishma Shabbos Asarbe. The Rambam says that that pasuk is the yisoid, the mocker of the din of chatei b'shul shetiske, or even we pass in chatei b'shul sheyiske chaverecha. But it only applies to mokum vadai; it doesn't apply to mokum sofek. That is the Gemara's limitation. That was the Gemara's restriction. Originally, the Gemara thought in the end of Yuma that the whole din of pikuach nefesh derech kol atarakuva is based on chatei b'shul shetiske. In other words, it's really an issur to be mechal Shabbos, but we would recommend you should invest. You should make an investment. What do you do when you make an investment? You spend a fortune of money to buy stocks, and then you expect in the future to gain a lot. So you do spend money now. So here also, the Torah says that you're permitted to invest if you think that it's a very intelligent and wise investment to be Mechal Shabbos once in a while, in order to save people's lives, that they should observe many Shabbosim in the future, or in order that they should gain in Shmiras HaMitzvos and so on. So then the Gemara says, true, that is what the Pasuk is telling me. But it's very restricted, only if it's a vadai and only if the gain is going to be tremendous. You'll be Mechal Shabbos once and the other person will be an observant Jew for the rest of his life. So this is very difficult to judge. That's why in the Shulchan Aruch this is applied in very rare instances. You have to keep in mind also, a lot of times people who are working in Kiruv get so carried away with themselves, they think that their avoda is so important, they're going to be matzal, someone in the fashas, that they think if this, the whole world is going to come to an end, if they won't be Mechal Shabbos now. Ma'aseh Shoyer happens every so often. The boys are going to an NCSY weekend, and they got stuck in traffic. And then it's late on Friday afternoon, it's late. And they know that if they're going to continue driving to go to the weekend, they're going to drive in the middle of Shabbos, so late after the Shkia. So the question is, can they rely on the Rabbi Natam that it's Vadayayim for 50 minutes after the Shkia and it's only Ben Hashmashis later? Why should they rely on the Rabbi Natam if there's only going to say Hakush Makfish that it's not so? Nobody ever holds like the Rabbi Natam. I'm talking our circles. I'm talking in Williamsburg. We know we don't rely on the Rabbi Natam. We follow what the Dilma Gaon says, Hakush Makfish. So why should they? No, because it's such a big mitzvah to be Makarav people, it's Mamish Shasatcha Kiriyevedom, it's Shasatcha. So what's the Shasatcha? What, the whole world is going to be saved? You're going to bring the salvation to the world because you're going to have other advisors there. So two, three advisors will not be there. So you'll stay in your, you'll stay in a motel on the highway, so you won't have what to eat. So you'll fast on Shabbos, you'll never go to Mechal Shabbos because you hold that it's Chatev, this a Shasatcha Kiriyevedom. So what would your Biriyevid, what would it be? Biriyevid, it's awesome. You shouldn't exaggerate what, sometimes you're permitted to be Mechal Shabbos Mamish in order to do a Gevaldige Hatzola. But these are very rare instances. We really see a case, the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef Taskens like that. In the beginning of Hilchas Shabbos, if they tell a man that his daughter was taken by the missionaries to convert her, and he knows that if he put Mechal Shabbos today, he'll be able to go and redeem her and get her away by paying money, by bribing, by whatever, getting the police. So the Beis Yosef Paskins that it's a mitzvah, the father is obligated to rush the Mechal Shabbos if need be with Malachas Derais in order to save his daughter. That's called Chatei B'Shul Sheyizkech HaVeirach. Okay, he knows it's going to be a one-shot affair, he'll only be Mechal Shabbos today. and his daughter is a young child, he's going to get his daughter back, and he'll raise his daughter like years ago. A parent raised the daughter. A parent raised the child in a religious atmosphere. The child will grow up to be observed. But even if you get there to this NCSY weekend, who says that you're going to have such a gewaldige hashpa, such a badoya, that you're going to have such a gewaldige hashpa on everybody else? And without these three advisors in this car, the whole weekend is going to collapse. So we'll give the chayitza, they'll figure out how to live without you. You find in the Torah an exaggerated example of chatei, b'shul shetiske, chatei b'shul shiske chavercha, and the Torah writes it in such a humorous way, the way when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, so Lot ran away with his daughters, his wife was killed, the wife turned into a Netziv Melech, and he ran with his daughters to the mountains. And he thought, Rashi quotes in the Medrash, he thought that the whole world was destroyed, just like in the days of the Mabul, and there's nobody left, and all of mankind consists of Lot and his two daughters. So how is there going to be a king for mankind? So he felt that he's permitted and obligated to be with his daughters in order to have children, in order to save mankind. What happened in the days of Adam and Rishon? There was Cain and Hevel, and they had their sisters. So Cain married his sisters, and he had children. And Rashi quotes Medrash, Olam Chesed Yibana. Abola Chesed is Chesed, who and Olam Chesed Yibana. The whole world was based on Chesed. It was necessary for Kiyum Ha'olam, for mankind, in order to maintain the world, that they should be together. So Lot made such a cheshbon, he thought the whole world was destroyed. And the only way to have that's mamash chatei, b'shul sheyizke kol olam kula. It's a good cheshbon. The only thing is the facts were wrong. Because the pasuk says that the whole world was not destroyed, and Lot would have been killed also in Sodom. It's only because of the schus of Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu was right there, in the other city. So Lot had these chalomis, he had such an imagination that he's going to save the whole world, he's going to rapture the whole world. So according to his kruma cheshbon, he did right. That he, and the Gemara says they were given schar, the one who was with the father the first night was given more schar than one who was with the father the second night, because they were marked in Ludvar Mitzvah, Lefi Habanasim, Lefi Shitasim. The Gemara says in Bava Kama, they were given schar, they thought they were doing a mitzvah. But you read the Pasuk in the Chumash, the whole thing is described as a big joke, because the Pasuk says that, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, he remembered the Schusim Avraham Avinu, and because of the Schusim Avraham Avinu, that's why he saved Lot. Lot wasn't Nitzal the Schus Atzmo, the whole world was there, Avraham Avinu was there, it's only because of Avraham that Lot was Nitzal. We have to be careful that we don't exaggerate our role in Kiyum Ha'olam. When we do Kirov activities, it's a Gevaldige Mitzvah, it's a Mitzvah Bin Adam Lachaverov, Hachech Tachiyach, and a Mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, Hashavas Gufo, and it's Mitzvah Habas Hashem, Ve'ahakas Hashem Kech Hashem Shem Yisai Vadecha, wonderful, fine, but we shouldn't think that the whole world stands on this, and if we're not going to be Mekar of this group of people, everything is going to go down the tube. Not going to disappear. They're religious people in Borough Park, even though they daven after the tzitzis. No, they're religious people in Flatbush. They were religious people in Eretz Yisrael. And B'nai Brak, whether you like them or you don't like them, they're religious Jews all over the world. So we shouldn't think that everything stands on this instance. It does have a status of Shas Atak, Kiri Yavidami, B'negir to these people. So you have certain coolers. But to say, Atkidei Kach, Chatei, to allow something which is even asib diyevet, to say chatei b'shul sheyizke chavercha, so that you need an awful lot of yeshiva das to consult with someone who has a little broader scope and broader perspective to see when and where this principle should apply. Of course, we have rules and regulations. What do we allow b'shas atchah? In the Gemara, there is a klal in the beginning of Brachas, and in Nida and other mesitzas, the Gemara has the b'shas atchah. We can rely on a shita sayochad, even though normally we say yochad virab and halachik yirab. So b'shas atchak, the Gemara has a lashon, kidai hu rab shimin lismachal b'shas atchak, and kidai hu rab plaini a shita sayochad. But there are rules and regulations here also. In Yeridea there is a machlekes achrenim between the Taz and the Shach, whether this applies only in an issue that's only the Rabbanon, or even applies in an issue which is their right. So many times you're faced with an issue their right, so then and perhaps you don't have the right, you have to ask Hashem, perhaps you don't have the right to say Shas Atak, we can follow the Shita Sayochad and Isurim the Rabban, and you do have the right. There is an interesting story regarding Rav Kook that Rav Neiria relates in one of his many Svarim. He has beautiful Svarim when he writes biographies of Rav Kook, very fascinating writer. So he relates a story that once when Rav Kook was in Yafo, before he moved to Yerushalayim, and way before he was a chief rabbi, so in Eretz Yisrael, the practice is that they eat fleishiks for lunch and have milchiks for supper in many places. It was years ago all over in Eretz Yisrael. So the Jewish workers didn't have a kosher cafeteria to eat in. They used to eat non-kosher restaurants. They used to eat work in Tel Aviv. So the Mizrahi was Mizakas Arabim. They opened up a kosher cafeteria, a kosher restaurant in Tel Aviv, where there was kosher food to the people. So they came about 2 weeks before the 9 days. So they sent a representative, they sent a shliach to Rav Kook, to his office. They asked him, what should they do in the 9 days? Because a lot of the Jews who were eating in their kosher restaurant were not observant. So they're going to close down the kosher restaurant, so they're going to go back to the trefer restaurant. They're going to eat trefers in the night. So the shaila was, should they stay open in 9 days? Or should they close? What should the policy be? What should they do? So Rav Kook was busy. He was in the middle of a pesach din Torah, some kind of a sichsuch. So he saw the way the fellow was waiting. The shliach that the Mizrahi had sent, the people who ran the restaurant. So he saw us waiting, and then he noticed that the fellow was fidgety. So in the middle of the din Torah, he walked over, Rav Kook walked over to the shliach, and he asked him, what is it that you wanted to know? So he presents the shaila to him quickly, because he's busy in the middle of the din Torah. So Rav Kook says, tell him that they should stay open, and everybody can eat flesh, even from me. So the shliach said, can you say that again? What was that? What do you mean everybody can eat flesh, even from me? It's like the 9 days. So he said, it's a sudas mitzvah. If you matzel the people from eating treifus, if you're going to close down your restaurant and they're going to go eat treifus, if you matzel people from eating treifus, that's a sudas mitzvah. So Rav Neria relates this story, and he says that you shouldn't take this story to the medam and milsa so easily. It was a hirah shah. It was obviously a hirah shah. It was a shasakran. But the story does tell something. We always, especially we learn in the yeshiva, before you go into the rabbinate, so when you learn in the yeshiva, so you're used to thinking of halachas and abstract and categories, so this mitzvah means achas and abris, that you cannot ban this or that or the other thing. No one ever thinks that's also sudas mitzvah, a suda to be makarit people. It's not a suda, not that they made a party to be makarit people. It wasn't an NCSY weekend or something. It wasn't a regional or something like that. It's just a regular restaurant where friar Jews, non-observant Jews, are going to go. But Rav Kook held that the negeir to that, the whole Easter of eating flesh in the 9 days only on minig. So the negeir to the minig of eating flesh, a sudas mitzvah koldo, is maspik to be matas. So held that that's considered a sudas mitzvah. In another place, Rav Neria quotes from Rav Kook a very fascinating idea, which is a very important one. We have a klal in the Gemara that a person should try to give tzedakah. One tenth you should give ma'aser kesafim. If a person wants to be very kind, the Rambam even holds l'chatchila that's the proper thing. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam quote that hamavazus ayavazus yes mechemis, you should give up until one fifth, but you shouldn't give more than one fifth. So the Gemara says, why? So b'shema yayonivi it's tarif labrias. You're going to give away too much money. You're going to go broke. So what will you gain? You gave away all the tzedakah. You took care of all those aniyim. Then you become an ani. So that's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense. So many have the attitude, what should I go into Kiruv for? I'm going to put in a lot of effort managing to Kiruv just to speak once in a while for non-observant Jews, but to go out of my way a lot in order to be mekarev of other Jews. So if I'm going to give away so much effort and energy to them, so I'll lose my own children. And that was taka what happened by many rabbonim years ago, that they used to work on their balabatim, they didn't work on their own children, they took it for granted their children were going to be observant. And then it turned out that their own children were lost. So that's what the Gemara says, they shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't give away too much to charity to help the others. Charity begins at home. That's what the Gemara says. So Rav Kook is quoted as saying, Rav Neria quotes from Rav Kook, that he used to say, that klal, doesn't always apply. There are exceptions to the rule. Let's say you're in the middle of a war. And then the general says that we need a battalion of soldiers to go at a certain spot, and he knows biyodua that the first couple of soldiers, the first couple of tanks are going to go, they're going to be killed. Everyone's going to be killed. So the soldiers should ding zuch with the general and say, I don't want to go. Why should I get killed? Let someone else go. So the din obviously is, when it comes to Shas Muhammad, there's no restriction of chayachat karm l'chayach haverch. These restrictions don't apply. So Rav Kook is quoted as having said, that years ago, when the Reb Binyan and the Reb Minyan of Palisol was religious, they were observant. So then you try to be mekarev people here and there. So mehechatesi, try to be mekarev them. But if it's a sakana to your own observance or to your own children, so you're not mechuyev and you're not permitted to do it. But if you live in a generation where there's so many intermarried people, and even those who are not intermarried are so far from religious observance, they don't have emunah, they don't have shkof, they don't know anything, So by us it's a p'china of shas milchama, and one should be obligated, if he has the ability to, not everybody's cut out for this, if he has the ability to, one should be obligated to be oisik in kiruv, even at the expense of losing his own ability to grow in Yerushamayim and in Diktik and Shmiris HaMitzvos and Elim and HaTorah, and even to the extent of neglecting a little bit his own children. This is a difficult thing to say to people, and it's a difficult thing to tell where the degree is, because if the person is going to be giving over so much to others, then later on, if he's going to lose himself, so he won't be able to give, so the whole purpose will be defeated. So you have to keep this in mind a little bit, and to ask. A lot of times young people get so involved in NCSY, like they get so involved in Kirim, they get into such a frenzy that they think they're saving the whole world and want to do everything and give everything away. They get so carried away that everything, in the end, they lose out everything. One has to be very careful about that. I'd like to just say a few he'oris regarding Hilchas Geirus. It's an issue that everybody in the rabbinate, practically everybody is involved in. It's kemat impossible today for a rabbi not to get involved in Geirus. Even I, who am not a practicing rabbi, once participated in a Geirus, which is was to me very surprising. The Gemara, of course, says that it's only permissible to accept the Geir who converts l'shem shamayim. If a person wants to convert for some ulterior motive, he wants to get a job in the Israeli government, or he wants to get a better position in the Israeli army, or he wants to marry a Jewish girl or something like that for some other purposes, for covet or glory, so then it's not proper to accept such a ger. What if b'dieved such a convert was accepted? What if a bezin accepted such a ger whose motivation was not pure? So the Tanaim have a dispute in Yevamos and Daf Chav Daled whether the ger is chal even b'dieved. So we pass from Allah that b'dieved the ger is chal, but l'chatila there's no mitzvah to accept such a ger, and it's improper to be mekabel such a ger. So Rav Chaim Oizer has a tshuva where he corrects his tshuva to Dayan Posen from Frankfurt, where he corrects his, what can we do? We live in such a difficult time, there's so many Reform rabbis around, and if we won't be mekabel the ger, so then he's going to go to Reform rabbis, they're going to be bigger kilkulim. So this is like Shas HaTchake D'Yeved Dami. Since B'D'Yeved, such a ger is Yitzchal, that's the Gemara passage like that. Yivam is Daf Chav Dalet, B'D'Yeved, a ger shen is Gayer. Shalom l'shem shemaim, his motivation was not pure, his motivation was not religious. He was motivated by some ulterior considerations. So since b'dieved the ger is hischal, so if he would have a shas hatchak, we would allow it l'hatchil. So Rav Chaim Oizer kvetches that in our generation, many of the cases would be considered shas hatchak, and we would allow it l'hatchil. A person has to look into that. You have to consult with other rabbonim in the neighborhood, and other talmid chachamim. It's not enough if you consult with a big Talmud Chacham, let's say you'll be in Idaho somewhere. So you call up a Rebbe in New York. So a Rebbe in New York will tell you an abstract what the din is. You should consult with some other rabbis in the Midwest or over there. You have to consult with other people who can size up the mitzvahs and consult with other people who know the halacha better, have a lot of experience. Is it really a shas hatchak? This is one of the sticky issues today. Another one of the big issues that we're faced with today is regarding Ger Katam Ad Bilam Osav Al Daz Bez, and unfortunately many people unable to have children want to adopt, and they can't always adopt Jewish children. So Staka Mitzvah, the Rabbanim should try to find out where are those organizations. There are several organizations where you can see to it that you adopt Jewish children. Why should we allow the Jewish children to be adopted by non-Jewish people? Let Jewish people adopt Jewish children. So we'll solve that problem. But in the event that a person is unable to adopt a Jewish child, and he wants to adopt a non-Jewish child and to convert him, so there is a din in the Gemara of Ger Katam Ad Bilam Osav Al Daz Bez. And the Gemara says, the simple reading of the Gemara, there are different interpretations in that, the Gemara Taisis and Sanhedrin has a whole different shot, but the simple reading of the Gemara is that this din of Ad Bilam Osav Al Daz Bez is based on the principle of Zachon Li'odam Shalai B'fanav. We assume that it's better off for the child that he should become Jewish than he should remain a goy for the rest of his life. And based on that assumption, the simple pshat in the Gemara, there was a big dispute in the poskim before the Second World War in Europe, and there were rabbanim in America who were involved in this machlokes as well, regarding this following situation. If you have a non-Jewish child who's going to be adopted by non-observant parents, is that considered a schus for the child or not? Maybe one should argue the point and say that it's only considered exclusively the child who's going to be brought up by observant parents. He'll be given a yeshiva education, grow up to be a religious Jew. He doesn't have to grow up to be a kollelik. But chotchi, he should be given a religious education. He should grow up to be a shomer mitzvahs to some extent or another. But he's going to be brought up by non-observant people who live far away from the shul, and they can't possibly come to shul on Shabbos unless they're going to drive. So the child is going to be taught to drive on Shabbos. And the adoptive parents are not going to be shomer Shabbos. They don't keep kashas. They don't keep anything. Taras and mishpacha, the people don't know whether they do or they don't. But the tefillas kelim, he won't know whether they do tevel kelim, and they don't know. How does anybody know? How do you see? But Shabbos will be obvious and kashas will be obvious. That the child, the adopted child, will be brought up in a home that's so far from religious observance that he himself will not be brought up as a shomer mitzvah. So this is highly, highly questionable. The Sridei Yesh is one of the many who wrote about this, and he refers to a sefer that was published in Europe where the opinions of many, many rabbanim were collected, and the overwhelming majority opinion at that time was, including Rabbi Yitzchok Hana, Rabbi Yeshiva University, that this does not constitute ischus. It is not considered ischus for the child to be converted if he's going to be brought up by non-observant parents. There was a very small minority opinion who disagreed. That was the rabbi in Frankfurt, Unsdorf. He was an Ungarische. He was the rabbi in Frankfurt. And the Sridei Yesh writes that he was misakesh. It's a faraction to disagree with Rabbi Yitzchok Hanan. He has a few chuvas with Rabbi Yitzchok Hanan. It's a hangaction to disagree with Rabbi Yitzchok Hanan, even though he was really wrong. So even if one doesn't accept, one of the rabbis of our generation wrote a whole essay, we're not mechuyev to accept everything that the Sridei Yesh says. I agree. I don't follow everything the Sridei Yesh says also. But the Sridei Yesh lived in that climate, he lived in that time, and he says the overwhelming majority opinion of Ruba de Ruba of the Rabbanim, like 95% of the Gedolei HaTorah held that it's not a skus. And Rabbi Soloveitchik in our generation said the same as well. It's a question whether what Rabbi Moshe Feinstein said. There are conflicting reports, there are tshuvas which are unclear in his svarim. So leave out Rabbi Moshe Feinstein if you don't know exactly what he said. But Rabbi Soloveitchik is clearly quoted as having said that he agreed with this majority position that it's not considered a source. So one should keep this in mind. This is a question. How far do you go? Let's say the parents, the adoptive parents, are not prepared to send a child to Yeshiva University or Chaim Berlin or Torah V'Das. They'll send the child through a modern Jewish high school. And that's all. So is that sufficient? That would be sufficient. Rabbi Luchstein always says that Rabbi Soloveitchik told him, if they're prepared to send the child to Ramaz through high school, stop. Even though they're not prepared to send them through college, if the Yeshiva College, even though they're going to send them to Goyesha College, he would consider that enough. But if they're not even prepared to send the child to Ramaz, so how far would you go? What's the bare minimum? No, so this is a serious question. When you'll be in the rabbinate, you'll be faced with such a situation. This is a serious question. To what extent do you say that it does not constitute a schus for the child to be converted if he's going to be brought up by non-observant parents? One has to keep in mind that you need a kosher bezin when you mekabel the ger. Because you need a bezin, the ger has to be done by yom, it cannot be done by laila. The kosher bezin means they have to be religious people. One prominent Orthodox rabbi was once discussing with me. He's one of the rabbis who went to Europe, an activist. He said, he remembers Rabbi Soloveitchik told him many years ago that you can be mitzaref the people in Russia to a minyan even though they're not shomer Shabbos, because there's no din of mechal Shabbos, but for hesi b'zman hazeh, like many poskim say, and you can't say that it's din of kapim. So he wanted to know, he was discussing on a later trip to Russia, and Rabbi Soloveitchik wasn't well, so he was discussing with me, with others, in case he has to convert somebody. There are many people in Russia who want to convert into married couples and so on. So many people want to convert. So the shaila was, and he doesn't have three Orthodox rabbis who come there, can it be mitzare if one of those Jews was not a shomer Shabbos? Because Rabbi Soloveitchik said that you can be mitzare from to a minyan, so you can be mitzare from to a bezin also. So I told this rabbi, no, there's no dinyon. The neged to be mitzare to a minyan, a ganef is mitzare to a minyan. A goy is not mitzare to a minyan. So the question that he posed to Rabbi Soloveitchik 25 years ago was, when Chal Shabbos prefer Hesi Dina Kinochri, does that apply today? So Rabbi Soloveitchik said no, like the majority of the Paschim said, you can't really consider a Chal Shabbos prefer Hesi Dina Kach. But in order to be Mitzurif to a Bezin, it's not enough if you're not a Nakal. If you're a Ganef, you're Pasolaitis, and whoever is Pasolaitis is possible to be a Dayan also. So of course he cannot. If the fellow is Chal Shabbos, he's not Dina Kach, but he still can't be Mitzurif to a Bezin. So So he understood this is something very important. The person has to keep that in mind. The members of the Bezin have to be religious people. Not only religious, the din is that members of the Bezin have to have a good reputation. Sometimes you have, let's say, three prominent Orthodox rabbis, and some of them don't have such a good reputation. Some of them give very, very shvacha hashgachas. And we know that they're giving hashgachas just, they're compromising their principles, just in order to make a few dollars, and they're saying that something is kosher which isn't kosher. So that person is a ganav. Such a person is posulitis, and he's posul to be a daim. Well, that their person doesn't give any weak hashgachas, but he's an extremely arrogant individual. We know many great Talmid HaChamim who are very arrogant. So the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch seem to say that such a person is possible to be a daim. It's not posulitis, but he's possible to be a daim. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rambam seven qualifications, seven attributes that every daim has to have. And one of them is Chachma, one of them is Anovo, different milas. So the Chazon Ish writes, what happens if the daim is not Chacham kachachmasa shal shloima? What if he's not as humble as Rabbi Yudah Nasi? So he says, that's okay. But yeah, but it's okay, even if it's not the greatest Chachma in the world. But if he doesn't have a mashuha of Chachma, he's a silly person. He's not smart. We know the person is not smart. So then he says he's kashal edis, but he's possible to be a dayan. He has to have a certain degree of Chachma. And he has to have a certain tuachacha, a little bit of anava, a little bit of humility, if the person is known as a balgaiva. So the Chazon Ish writes that based on the simple reading and the Rambam the Shulchan Aruch, that such a person is possible to be a member of a bezin. You have to pick the bezin carefully. In the event that you're adopting a child, so you can be mitzarif to the bezin, the adoptive father also. There's a din. The members of the bezin may not be kroivim. There's a certain rabbi, a prominent figure in Brooklyn who does conversion. So he and his two sons. They constitute the bezin for the conversion. So that's no good. That's the famous din in Shulchan Aruch. That members of the bezin may not be kroivim zelazeh. Kroivim, just like kroivim apsulim later, is the kroivim apsulim to be members of the bezin as well. But if you have the adoptive father wants to serve as one of the members of the bezin, he's not the father, he's not a korah. He's a total stranger, just because he's going to adopt the child. And Dina de Malchusa, he's going to be the father. And the child is going to get his Yerusha and Dina Malchusa, that doesn't make it that he's possible to be, he's not a korah b'alpidin. He's kosher to be a member of the bezin. There is a big dispute in Shulchan Aruch, which unfortunately comes up is Man HaZeh very often, because many of the people active in Kiruv don't really know Halacha so well. So there is a dispute in Shulchan Aruch regarding the Seder of the Geirus. The Chachamim tell us in the Gemara and Yevamos that the proper Seder L'Hatchila for the conversion should be that first you have the Mila, and then you have the Tefillah and the Mikvah later. What if the person will reverse the order? First you'll have the Tefillah, and then you have the Milo. So when you study Yevamos, you'll see in Perak HaCholos, this is a machlekes between Tosfos and the Ramban, and the Shulchan Aruch presents it as a Sveke Dedina. The two opinions are quoted and there's no Hachro. So Halacha L'maaseh, what do you do? So the Shach writes, La'alacha, if first they did the Tefillah, and then they did the Milo later, so you should repeat the Tefillah a second time later, Misafek Vali Bracha. Normally a Ger who converts has to say a Bracha when he's Tevel in the Mikveh, and in this case, when you're repeating the Tefillah a second time, he should be Tevel Vali Bracha. This has come up on more than one occasion here in Yeshiva, when we had students in JSS, and even in the Yeshiva who had been converted because of the Suffolk, whether the mother's conversion, like Rabbi Halab's case, whether the Muslim conversion was good or no good, whatever, because of Sfeikis, so it was recommended to them that they should convert. So so on some occasions, the people who are Makarabim, the observant, didn't realize that first you have to take care of the Milo, and then you take care of the Tefillah. So they did the Tefillah first. So after they did the Milah, they had to repeat again the Tefillah a second time, the Libruch. There is an institution. There's so many dinim in Hilchas Geirus. I obviously cannot cover everything, even if I'll stay here for a few hours, which I don't plan to do. But I'd like to close with this point, because it just came up this summer. There was a big sichsuch about this in the New York area. There is an institution of a Yisrael who's an apikoros. Let's say there's a Jew who's born to a Jewish mother, and he doesn't believe in the existence of God. Well, he believes in the existence of God. He doesn't believe in reward and punishment. He doesn't believe in Torah and Hashemayim. He doesn't believe in Bias HaMashiach and so on. Such a person is an apikoros, and he has all the rights and privileges of an apikoros. But he's still Jewish. A Jew who's an apikoros is still Jewish. So what if you have a non-Jew who wants to convert, and even after he's going to convert, he's going to keep mitzvahs, but he doesn't believe in Torah and Hashemayim. He's going to keep the mitzvahs for cultural reasons, for social reasons. But he doesn't really believe in Torah and Hashemayim, he doesn't believe in Schar V'Onesh, whatever. So the Pashtus is that you certainly cannot convert such a person, because the Rambam writes in Nishmoneh Prokim, the Hakdama to Pirkei Avos, that one who doesn't believe in the Ikori Ho'amuno, who is an Apikoris, is not part of Klal Yisrael. And the whole idea of conversion, the whole idea of Geiris is Amechami, that the person, how does a person become Jewish if he's not naturally born Jewish? He joins the Jewish people, he joins the Jewish nation. But if the person wants to join the Jewish people and he doesn't believe in the Ikori Ho'amuno, so then even if he would have been born a Jew, Taka, he's Jewish, he is a Yehudi, he's a Yisrael, he has a Kedushas Yisrael, but he's not part of the Ummah Yisrael. These are two different concepts. Who is Jewish? Mihu Yehudi is one issue. And who is part of Klal Yisrael is another issue. You have people who are Jewish, that if they'll be Mekadosh and Ishi, Kedushim will be Tofsin, but they're not part of Klal Yisrael, namely an Apikoris. That's what the Rambam writes. It's not my Chiddush, the Rambam writes that. One is an Apikoris, is not part of Klal Yisrael. So you have a Ger who wants to convert, but who doesn't believe in Ikari Hu Amunah. Today, he thought that his mother was Jewish, because his mother was converted many years ago by a group of Reform rabbis. So he never realized, for years and years, they never realized that they were all not Jewish. So the mother converted again, and she keeps all the mitzvahs, so she has a munah. All the other children in the family converted, and this fellow wanted to convert in order to marry a Jewish girl, but he didn't have a munah like everybody else. He was married by a Reconstructionist rabbi. So the question was, could you convert him in advance? Of course not. If the person doesn't believe in Ikari Ha'amunah, so he's not joining Klal Yisrael. So there is certainly the Amunah is market. There are many, many dinim and many issues involved, halacha lemaisa, in kiruv activities, and many dinim involved in gerus, and we all need a lot of limud and a lot of shimush in these areas. And in the course of your learning during the smicha years, you will certainly learn many of these dinim, but when you go into the rabbinate, you should consult before, when such a case comes up, before you get involved, halach l'maisa, you should consult seriously two people. You should consult first with those who know what the metzias is, to make sure that you got the metzias straight, and second, you should consult seriously with those who know the halachas, to make sure that you have the halachas. I want to wish everybody a ksiru achsim teva, and a good kibbutz.